We shall now turn to the chapter that we read together, John's Gospel, chapter 19, and you'll find our text in verse 30. John 19 at verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Particularly these words, "It is finished." In a sense, what better way of bringing the year to a close than by remembering the Lord's death and celebrating that death. And it's worth celebrating. It is the greatest feat that was ever accomplished in the history of the world, the death of Christ. Through that death, salvation comes to the elect of God. And the gospel is preached to every man and woman in the world. Whosoever will, let him come and let him take. Jesus said to us, "Do this in remembrance of me." He didn't say how often we were to celebrate the Lord's Supper. But he said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. He wanted us to remember his death. And he wanted us to consider the importance of that death. To think about what it cost Christ to earn salvation for us. We look back in our lives, back over the past year, back over our lives since ever we entered the world, and what do we see? We see sin after sin after sin. And so it's wonderful that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. As we look into the future, a new year stretching before us, we wonder, how will we be? How will we manage? How can we get through? How can we overcome temptation? How can we live for God? We rejoice that he loved us and gave himself for us. And all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus died on the cross, every single promise in the Bible is sure to those that put their trust in him. Our confidence as we face life and death and eternity is the finished work of Christ. Life is short and uncertain. We were reminded of that this week again with that terrible accident last Monday in St. George's Square with the runaway refuse lorry. In the middle of a very ordinary day, and in the middle of people going about their daily concerns and interests, suddenly tragedy strikes. And we know not the day nor the hour when the Lord will say, "Your life is finished. Your time is over. Eternity is come." And that's why it's so important for us to make sure that we have Christ, to trust in him, to commit our lives to him, to put our confidence in the one who died 2,000 years ago. And every one of us are duty bound to do this in remembrance of him, to put our trust in Christ as our own beloved Saviour, to come to that place where we can sit at his table. Because if we cannot sit at his table on earth, how dare we face death itself and the awfulness of being excluded forever from the table of the Lord in heaven. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Here we have Christ's second last saying on the cross. It is finished. Immediately after these words, he said, Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. And he dismissed his spirit. And his soul went to heaven. And his body was left dead, hanging on the cross. It's a very short saying. It is finished. In the Greek, it's just one word. Tetelestai. And yet in that little word, there's so much meaning. He's not saying, I am finished. He's saying, it is finished. It's not the words of defeat, but it's the words of victory, of completion, of having achieved, of having triumphed. It is finished. I have done it. I have completed it. I have obtained salvation for my people. I have done all that was required. It is finished. And so Christ, having finished the work that he was given to do, he says, Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. I would like us this morning to think of these words, it is finished, and to ask the question, what exactly is finished? First of all, his life on earth was finished. It wasn't an easy life. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? Yes, he had great sorrow, great sadness. Unlike us, he consciously came into this world. He lived before he was born. He is the eternal Son of God. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. And the Son of God so loved the world that he came from heaven into this world. When people think of the birth in Bethlehem, they have quite a sentimental picture often of the stable and the crib and the oxen and the donkeys and the Christmas tree in the corner and the bright lights sparkling and twinkling, and everything so beautiful and so happy and so clean. But the reality was quite different. A smelly stable, the filth, the manure, the flies, a woman in agony giving birth to her first child, the pain of childbirth, the lack of hygiene, the lack of facilities, no running water. And we think of this child being born in the dirty environment of a first century stable. And a little child being laid in the feeding trough of the animals. And this is the life that Christ says, it is finished. He came into this world. He came into a situation of poverty and of rejection. There was no room for him in the inn. And he had to be born in the stable. And even then there was also the necessity to flee to the land of Egypt. And in today's world, we know something of the of refugees having to flee for their lives. We might have pictures of an easy ride down to Egypt on a donkey, and yet it must have been so different, fleeing away like these Yazidi folk fleeing from Sinjar when the Islamic State came in. The fear on their faces, the destitution as they took the little that they could take with them. And we think of Mary and Joseph taking with them all their worldly possessions that they could carry as they made their way as refugees to Egypt and then lived there in that foreign country with a foreign language. And then when they return with baby Jesus to Israel, they have to go to Nazareth in Galilee because Herod's son is king or governor of Judea. In the Old Testament, we're told about Lot. We think of Christ growing up amongst the children of Nazareth. We think of Lot in Sodom. And that righteous man, Peter says, vexed his soul from day to day with their ungodly deeds, seeing the wickedness that was going on there in Sodom, how it grieved him. And Lot was far from perfect. How different it must have been for Jesus growing up amongst sinful children and sinful adults in Nazareth. How grieved and vexed his soul would have been by what he saw there. Growing up in relative poverty, having left the paradise riches of heaven, and then eventually baptized, becoming a preacher, going around preaching, knowing what it was for people to argue with him, sometimes to pick up stones to kill him, people of his own town dragging him out to a precipice to cast him over that precipice for his death, as he tried to bring the good news of the gospel to them. But they couldn't see the goodness of the good news, and they rejected the message. All his life, he was under a sentence of death, like somebody who's terminally ill, aware of the sufferings and awful death that were before him. How much he must have been missing heaven. I've sometimes heard it say how difficult Lazarus would have found it after having died and gone to heaven to be taken back into this world after 4 days in heaven. How difficult it would be, it must have been, for Jesus coming from heaven to live his life in this world. How he must have longed for heaven. And now he says, it is finished. That life which he was required to live, that life of stress and strain and rejection, of poverty and difficulty and opposition, it is finished. It is completed. From eternity in heaven, he came into this world and he lived his 33 years in this world, and now he says, it is finished. There's a sense of victory, a sense of triumph there. He has done it. It was required, and he has done it. To depart and to be with Christ is far better. To depart and to be with my Father in heaven is so much better. How much more Christ longed for that than Paul did. And now he says, it's completed. It's ready. It's life on earth. But secondly, the Father's decree and the Father's plan is finished. It was a plan from all eternity. God in his great wisdom devised a way whereby He could be just and the justifier of the sinner who believes in Jesus. He devised a way whereby His elect who deserved hell could be given heaven. And He remained just. And that way was by a substitute suffering in their Roman place. In His covenant of redemption, He gave to His Son an elect people. And the Son said, I take them and I will suffer for them and die for them and save them. It is done. It is completed. The Good Shepherd has come and He has laid down His life for the sheep. The Son of God has come and He has fulfilled the terms of the covenant of redemption. He has done all that the Father required. The Father laid it down upon Him. I came not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. It is done. It is completed. I have fulfilled all that is required. Not my will, but Thine be done. And now it's done. Remember Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And now it is done. It is completed. To do Thy will I take delight, O Thou my God that art. Delighting in it. And yet so difficult to do. But He has completed it. It is finished. His Father's plan. He's done what is required. Thirdly, it is finished. His humiliation is completed. Before He could be exalted, He had to pass through humiliation. And that humiliation was essential for our salvation. And so we are told that He was born and that in a low condition, made under the law. And the birth of Christ in itself is so amazing. Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. How wonderful to think that the Creator should become a creature. And that He who is sinless and pure should be found in the likeness of sinful flesh. Not sinful, but in the likeness of sinful flesh. Subject to the miseries that original sin brought into the world, although not subject to sin itself and its pollution. His humiliation. He knew what it was to suffer cold and heat, hunger and thirst, stress and tiredness. He was tempted by Satan, one of His creatures, rejected by the people He made and the people He lovingly came to save, tested on every side, despised and mocked and spat upon. And now He says, it is finished. It is completed. I've done it. Yes, He did humble Himself by coming from heaven into this world by being born, by living subject to the law, the lawgiver keeping the very commandments that He had given, and not just the moral law, but keeping the ceremonial law as well. Every single commandment that men and women had found too great, too burdensome, impossible for them to keep, but He kept them all. Tempted by Satan, He kept them in every detail. He bore that huge burden, humbled Himself even to death. And now here He is at the point where He is going to die, where He's going to lay down His life. And He says, it is finished. Fourthly, the scripture and its prophecies concerning me, I have finished and I have completed. All that the Old Testament had said needed to happen and would happen has happened. Look at verse 24, for example. The soldiers there parted his raiment among them, and for his vesture they did cast lots, that the scripture might be fulfilled. We sang these words together, didn't we? In Psalm 22. Upon my vesture lots they cast, my clothes among them shared. And then, later on in verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. The scriptures had predicted it, and now he says, I thirst. And there was set there a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. They gave me vinegar to drink when as my thirst was great. We just finished singing that, didn't we, in Psalm 69. Scripture had to be fulfilled, and there was so much from the beginning of Genesis right through to the end of Malachi that had to be fulfilled. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, and thou, the serpent, shall bruise his heel. And it was fulfilled. All these promises. We find again reference in verses 36 and 37. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture from Zechariah that says, they shall look upon him whom they pierced. It is fulfilled. It is finished. I've done it. I've done it all. All these hundreds of scripture verses, they have all been completed. Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. He shall be led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. It is finished. It is completed. He was victorious. All these sacrifices of which the Mosaic law spoke, he is the great sin offering. He was made sin for us, a sacrifice for sin. He's the great burnt offering. He's the peace offering. He's every sacrifice and every offering. And they're all pointing to him, and he has fulfilled every detail of what was stated. Scripture is finished, is completed, is fulfilled. Then fifthly, the cup. The cup is finished. Remember him in the Garden of Gethsemane. The end is drawing near. He seems to get a clear glimpse of what's lying before him, such as he has never seen before. Yes, he knew he was going to die, but he's able to look into that cup now and to see every bitter drop that's in it. And you remember how he took with him Peter, James and John, went further into the garden, told them to watch and to pray with him, and then went a few steps further on, threw himself down on the ground, was in agony on the ground. Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. All things are possible with thee. Let this cup pass from me. The agony of it, the misery of it, being made sin, being made a curse, being under God's wrath and curse been God forsaken? Only Christ knew the pain of it. Let this cup pass from me. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And he came back to Peter and James and John, and they were sleeping. Could you not watch with me 1 hour, he said, as he woke them. And then he went back and spoke in the same words. And we're told that an angel from heaven came to strengthen him. What agony was in. How overwhelming was the consciousness of the coming suffering. How he longed for that cup to be removed. How earnestly he prayed. And his prayer was answered. He prayed unto him that was able to hear. He prayed with strong crying and tears and was heard in that he feared and he was strengthened. And so when Judas came with the soldiers, he could have tried to run away. He could have let Peter and the others try to fight and he could have strengthened them to fight. But no, he said, the cup which the Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And now he says, it is finished. The cup is finished. As Rabbi Duncan said, he turned it upside down and he licked out the last drops from the cup and he cried, it is finished. Not my will but thine be done. What a glorious Savior we have. Who gave his life for us and who willingly drank that awful cup so that you and I would today have a cup of thanksgiving and a cup of blessing and so that throughout eternity we would have cups of joy and peace and love. It is finished, the cup. Sixthly, it is finished, the conquest. This is something that's often missed. We think of Christ and his death as sacrifice, but sometimes we forget that it was also a battle. And that's the way it's put in the very first reference to the death of Christ in Scripture. Genesis 3:15. God's words to Satan, the seed of the woman shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. That's speaking about wrestling. About crushing a head. And a heel being crushed in the process. There was a great battle at Calvary. There was a battle with Satan. A wrestling. A fighting. A war going on, as it were. This is your hour and the hour of darkness and the prince of darkness. The prince of darkness drew near and Christ, the prince of life, of light, had to fight with the prince of darkness. He wasn't allowed to use his divine nature and his divine power to conquer Satan. With one word, he could have annihilated Satan. But he had to fight as a man with Satan. Because it was as a man that mankind fell. Adam was conquered by Satan. And now here's the last Adam. And the last Adam has to wrestle with Satan and to conquer him. All hell was arrayed against Christ. It was a terrible fight. Yes, he could have called on 12 legions of angels to defend him, but then man would have perished. But Christ is able to get a hold of Satan. He's able to throw him down. And he's able to plant his heel upon the head of the serpent and to squash it and crush it and destroy him. Who through death destroyed him that hath the power of death? That is the devil. Victory. It is finished. I've done it. I've completed it. Satan has not mastered me. Satan has not succeeded in overcoming me. Satan has not deflected me from saving my people. It's words of conquest, of victory. It is done. I am triumphant. And he leads captivity captive. He leads Satan, as it were, chained to his chariot wheels. And he ascends up on high. And he receives gifts, the gift of the Holy Spirit for men. It is finished. He is conquered. Satan is beaten. Do this in remembrance of me. But finally, it is finished refers to the atonement. It is completed. That great sacrifice for sin, that reconciling of God and man, that bringing about of peace, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, being made sin for us, dying in our room and place. It is finished. I have completed it. I have done all that was required. I have paid for the redemption of my people, not with silver and gold, but with my own precious blood. And every penny has been paid of the ransom price that divine justice required. It is finished. Not one penny missing. It is finished. It's all there. It is done. It is completed. We are redeemed with his blood. We have been ransomed and set free. The sacrifice has satisfied divine justice. All that was required by divine justice for our salvation has been completed. It is finished. My sufferings for my people, my people's salvation, it is completed. It is done. I have earned for them heaven. It is done. Great words of triumph, great words of victory. Let us rejoice today as we take in our hands the bread and the wine. Let us rejoice in Christ and what he has done. He came into this world and he finished his life in this world, the whole 33 years that was laid down. All that was planned by the Father, all that was in the divine decree, he finished. The humiliation that was required, it is finished. Right down to his death, which he is just about to die. And has been laid in the grave. All that the scripture planned and predicted, it is finished. The cup that the Father gave him to drink, it is finished. Every drop has been drunk. The conquest of Satan, Satan is beaten. He is finished. And Christ is finished with him. And in summary terms, the atonement, the great work of redeeming his people, the ransom price has been paid. It is finished. You and I deserve hell, but it is finished, and heaven is ours. All that was required has been done. And now we rejoice in the broken body and the shed blood. And we sit at His table with thanksgiving because He loved me and He gave Himself for me.